Welcome to our podcast,
Band BFFs,
the podcast where we make your music selection less complicated.
On today's episode, we are going to be discussing Cascadia Celebration by Steve Hodges. Cheers to starting the conversation. So Laura and I were just talking about why haven't we done this piece yet right before we were recording, because we both love it so much. And it's probably because it's kind of one of those older, quote-unquote, grade ones to the Texas PML. Like, I played this piece when I was a super baby band director.
I also played it as a baby band director.
A long time ago, and that's when it was, like, new and up and coming. But it's such a great piece for, like, teaching you as a musician how to teach in multiple key signatures, multiple time signatures. You do have to have a solid group. But it's so cute, lighthearted, and fun. It sounds like a celebration when you play it.
It does. The title is appropriate completely. Yeah. And I love, it's just such a, it's such a happy sounding piece. I had a lot of fun teaching it. And we've done it, of course, even with, you know, with our non-varsity bands. Not only have we conducted it when, you know, years ago, but we've done it at our own schools with our non-varsity bands. I think this is an oldie but a goodie.
Yes.
Such a great piece. So Cascadia is in the key of concert E flat and 3-4 at the beginning. It does change keys. It modulates to the key of F, which is not for the faint of heart.
Right.
And 5-4. But don't be intimidated. Like, the 5-4, I think, lays really easily. It's about 2 minutes and 20 seconds in length. You do have some split clarinet, alto, trumpet parts, quite a bit of percussion. So you're gonna need 5 to 6 percussionists on this, but there's lots of cool accessory percussion in this. I love this piece.
Yeah,
it's very, very cute.
So I'm excited to talk about it. So it starts off at 110 on the metronome. It stays that way the whole time. It's just jubilant in nature. It has some accented parts, but a lot of the piece is not accented. It's just full value tongues with some slurs thrown in, but it's not like anything super crazy. But at the very beginning, you do have to have a really good trumpet section.
Yes.
That's a given. Your clarinet one part should probably be pretty mature too. It does go up above the staff a little bit and stays at the top of the staff often. So you want to make sure at least your clarinet one is comfortable going over the break.
And sounding
comfortable,
good.
Sounding
that's
pretty
right.
Up high, right, that sort of thing. So it starts off with like a little, like a
fanfare. Yes.
1 and 2, 3 with one, accents. And then the little woodwinds go 1 and 2 and 3 and 1 in response. And then they do it again. And the lows just get 1, 2 and 3 and 1. Not ridiculously difficult. And they're not even changing notes either. Go ahead.
Style, I think, especially in all throughout this, but in this introduction, style is really important, making sure that the way that we're articulating the eighth notes is agreeing from the flutes all the way down to the tubas in this section. And then
like a little bit of lift.
And then definitely. And then also, I think across the board in this piece, when you have long notes, the tendency is to die away on them.
Oh, for sure.
And we want the exact opposite. Now, like what the trumpets and altos start off one and 1, 2, 3. We had ours treat that, and you've heard me say this if you've listened to our podcast at all several times. We had our students treat it like a forte piano,
right?
Crescendo. So there is a crescendo written, but treat it like a forte piano crescendo so that they get out of the way of the moving notes that are coming in. This happens, this same idea on these long notes happens all throughout this piece.
Once we get to 5, it's still kind of part of the introduction. The clarinet 2 and altos get this cool little like 1, 2, 3, 1 and 2, 3 harmonic line. It's really pretty. And then at 7, we have our first statement of the melody in the trumpets, and they're all together. And this is the melody that comes back over and over and over. The lows all have the same rhythm. And that makes it really easy to teach this because they're playing the same thing and they're out of the way, very quiet with lifted style eighth notes or quarter notes or half notes. During the trumpet melody at the end on each long note after the trumpets have their statement. So they go One and two, three, one and two, three, one and two, and three and one. On that long note, one. The woodwinds, clarinet, oboe, flute, they have one and two and three and one. So it's like a
little call and response.
Yeah, a little call and response. And the kids like that. And then they're out of the way again at 11 and the trumpets come back.
So what Katie was just talking about the low voices having this blocked rhythm, half, eighth, eighth, half, quarter, half. This is exactly what I'm talking about with letting the white notes fade, right? The tendency, what you're going to hear a lot of groups do is go da, 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 da. And you want to make sure that they are not doing that, that we are supporting all the way through those long notes.
Yep. The trombone part does go up to a D here. And I know every time I've played this, that note has been like a tuning issue. So just making sure it's like the French horns have an upper C, the trombones have an upper D, the tubas even are going up to a D. So you want to make sure that your students can do that with success and be in tune.
And I have my trombones in this. I have my trombones play this in fourth position instead of first position because it's a flat partial in first position. And in fourth position, you can adjust the tuning.
Yeah.
So that is something even when I'm pre-marking parts that I pre-mark in that, hey, we're going to play this one in fourth position.
Right. So the same melody goes on and the trumpets. And then at the end, though, this time it goes one and two and three, a one. So it has a real cute little dotted eighth 16th ending. That's not difficult, but you want to make sure there's a little space after the dotted eighth note. One and two and three, a one. So that the 16th really pops, you know.
And there's lots of clarity in that articulation.
Yep.
The euphonium part does not double the trombone part throughout this. So that
right.
is the trombones. Like we mentioned, you need strong trumpets in your first clarinet. I'd even say that your trombone section needs to
that.
Be pretty.
Because of the range,
that's
for sure.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And they're just really independent. They're really their parts yep. are really independent. I love this whole section, right? We finish this, the woodwinds, the upper woodwinds, just like we've continued, get to make
they
a little
the,
response.
They get the fanfare this time.
One and two, three, one. Yes.
Yep. And then the lows get to have more of like a little accented part, but trombone again, they're on C's
above
the
staff,
mm-hmm. over and over and over. So the tuning
yes.
might be a little bit of an issue.
And making
that
sure
you
they don't
really
get fatigued as they
yes.
sit up there in that range.
Yeah.
I mean, that you know that range is not super easy for younger players.
Yeah, but the horn part is more in the normal range, like from D to B flat most of the time. So it's really just the trombone. Euphonium and tuba are doubling each other, so they're more on a normal range.
When we get to this next phrase, this measure 18, now the upper woodwinds, the flute, and oboe, and first clarinet are taking over the same melodic statement that the trumpets had before, but now we have this little rhythmic ostinato that's taking place in the low and mid voices, the altos, horns, and low brass. One and three, one and three, one and. They get to do, and this part is really cool. I love the way this, it even
it's
doubles the
like
snare.
It's just like jaunty, it's cute.
I love that word, yes,
yeah.
It is, it's very jaunty. You want to make sure that beat three leads to beat
yes,
one.
For
that,
sure.
That we don't clip that note short. One and three, one and. That is not at all what we want, so make sure that
the
that
melody
beat,
won't sound like that
that's
either.
Right.
One
that's
and
right.
two, three, one and two, three. Not one and two, three.
Yeah. Yes.
So it's more full value quarter notes, just lifted
definitely.
Eighth notes.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And then the trumpets kind of answer. So we have the reverse
fanfare.
Of, that's right.
Yeah.
We have the reverse of what we had before. When the trumpets were the statement and the woodwinds answered at the end of the phrase, now the trumpets get a little fanfare answer at the end of the phrase.
Yep. And also the low brass, when the trumpets do that little fanfare, they get a moment of glory. That's what I call it whenever we've played it. So they finish, they do that ostinato for three measures. Then they get one and two and three and one. So it's like really cute because they get to do like more of a moving part. It's not horrible, but they get a moment where they get to come out of the spotlight,
mm-hmm.
which is good. Then it continues on with the upper woodwinds having the melody. And they get another. They get the same thing trumpets did before. One and two and three,
a one.
And then we all in the mid voices get this cool little rhythm. One, two, and three. One and three and one.
And that so, syncopation there is so important.
Yeah. Well, and yeah. it's just cute, mm-hmm. and the kids get it. You know, it lays pretty well. And then we don't change key, but we change to 5/4 here. So now the snares are off. So it's kind of like a different feel. Mm-hmm. And the tambourine comes yep. in. And we are now in 5-4. And when you conduct it, you can do it in 1-2-3+2. That's the way it lays in the music.
Yes.
So it's always 1-2-3, 1-2.
You can do that. You can conduct it in 5.
If
yeah,
you, wanted,
you can
yeah.
certainly do in
I've
5.
I've done it the easier way for my younger group. Yeah.
I did it, and that's great. Okay, so this is great to bring up. I did it in 5, and the reason we did is because I told my kids, I want you to feel really comfortable anchoring in on beat 1, and I wanted beat 1 to look the same every time, right? So when you do a 3+2, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that, but I was telling my kids to anchor in on beat 1. So I only wanted there to be one visual
Got
beat
it.
One,
yep.
right?
Yep.
But there is a lot of syncopation in this
yes.
section, tied notes, and so they have to be really comfortable counting. Do not start playing this until they can count it correctly.
Right.
It's 5-4. It feels weird. They haven't been exposed to this, right?
Yep, so, the snares have the rhythm first while everybody's playing a long note that's decrescendoing. And then at 28... alto and horn come in with this cool new melody. So it's 1, 2,
and
3, 4, 5.
5.
Sorry, yeah, I was thinking 1, 3, and 2. I was conducting 1, 2, and 4, 5.
1, 2, and 4, and 5.
1, 2, and 4, 5. Then the flute and the clarinet take over. 1, 2, and 3, and 5. It's hard to count 5, yeah. But it's it lays really cute. And like we said, it's not fast, so the kids
right.
get it. The lows are playing 1 and 4. 1 and 4.
Rest.
Yeah, and so that's actually a little bit
it
trickier
is tricky. It
than
is
it
tricky.
Seems when they first start it, because
right.
they're not used to feeling that. Then... we keep going, but now the flute, clarinet, alto, they get the melody, and lows join in and play longer valued. 1 and 4, 5. 1 and 4, 5. And most of the time they're staying on either the same note or just going up by one step. So it's like in the tuba part. F, F, G, G, A flat, A flat. B flat, B flat. So we're not going up a ton or jumping around. It's just like scalar in motion.
Now, as you're working on this 5-4 section, so I think sometimes directors like fall in a habit of saying, hey, we have to start at measure 1 or at the beginning, like in the 5-4. I would start right here at measure 32. The only instrument that isn't playing right here at measure 32 is the trumpets. And this part aligns way better with the melody in the upper woodwinds and the accompaniment in the mid voices and low voices. Whereas back at measure 28, when we first initially were in
the
5-4, half the band isn't playing. The part that the low brass has, we already discussed,
right.
is a little bit more complicated.
Yeah.
So start where it's a little bit easier, where you can help them feel successful feeling what 5-4 feels like.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
And then back up.
Yep. There's some accidentals in the horn part here, a little accidental in the flute part and the alto part too. Just one accidental, and then it goes back to the key. But again, that'd be a good thing to mark in their part and remind them to go back to key signature. Trumpets come in on 4 and 5 and to pick up, taking over the melody. And actually they get like a new part here. So we kind of
totally
end this
new
little
idea.
Syncopated thing. And at 36, we have a new melodic idea.
Now leading into 36, I will tell you measure 35, your upper woodwinds have a dotted half note tied to a half note. And man, every time I've played this, we have had to battle sustaining that long note for 5 full beats, sound to silence. They have rest in measure 36. So making sure that they are supporting that long note, and your flutes and oboes obviously with really good vibrato all the way to the end, that way the trumpets aren't left hanging on their pickup note
right.
4 and 5 and 1
yeah.
right everyone should still be playing while the trumpets have those pickups into 36.
And these trumpet pickups land on a D, so, and this is in both trumpet parts, so this is written up a little higher, so just throwing that out there. Then there's a counter melody in the alto and horn part, and the horn part is a high E flat. E flat, D, B flat, C, D, D, C, B flat, A, G. It's up there.
And they double with the altos. Yeah. The altos have it too.
But you want to make sure that your French horns can sound pretty up high. It's exposed here. There's no woodwinds playing right. other than alto. It's kind of like a brass feature with alto backing up the horns.
And now I will tell you, this little 8-measure chunk right here, I think this is the most challenging part of the entire piece to make sound
to make it and to good. Make it stay together and hold together. Yes. Because there's no pulse. This mm-hmm. the
percussion
drops out, and it's just like a little brass chorale, I guess is kind of how I think of it. And like I said, it's up
it's
a little
flowier,
higher,
less rhythmic. Yes, right.
The lows have like a dotted half note and then a half note. And up again at the top of the staff for the trombone part. But it's really pretty. It's just kind of a mature-ish section for a developing band.
And then, like, yeah. the flutes, and I think it's
clarinet,
flutes and oboes, kind of take over the melody. So we have this 4-measure chunk where the trumpets have the melody, and you have the counter happening in the alto and horn. And then the flutes and oboe take it over. Now,
and then
it's a
woodwind chorale.
Exactly. Yeah. So one of the things that I think makes this section a little trickier, too, is the way the phrase lays. You'll have a dotted half note moment, and then you'll have a half note moment. And kids sometimes have trouble counting that. So four and five and one, two, three, four, five and one, two,
three, four,
one, four, five and one. So it is like just that little 4-measure chunk right there. You're going to spend a long time making sure that the kids are comfortable with their rhythm and that they move in time. And like I said, the flutes and oboes have that exact same thing. The next 4 measures.
One of the times that I played this, I just remembered because, like, Laura was going through it. When at 36, I wrote on our trumpet part here a triangle over the dotted, because I conducted it in 3 and then in 2. Or it wasn't me. It was my coworker at the time. It was our second band. But I drew a triangle over the dotted half mm-hmm. note. And then on the 4-5 and, I drew a down arrow on the 4. And an up down. Arrow, or an up arrow, even though it, because my hands were doing that.
Okay.
So it's like triangle, 2-3, down, up. Triangle, 2-3, down, up. So that helped the trumpets to feel that, because this is a weird spot.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, it doesn't lay like 100, like the syncopated part lays pretty easy.
Yeah.
This part you really have to count. Yeah. So anyways, then the woodwinds come in and do the exact same yep. thing. So flute and clarinet have the melody. There's no brass happening right now. Then the snares go back on and we change back into 3-4 time. And we have the same thing that we had at the beginning. 1 and 2 and 3.
So
it's a little bit different
here, right? Now the eighth notes. Now the,
oh, wait,
the woodwinds
are. Yeah, that is different
yeah.
than the beginning. Sorry.
The woodwinds are moving around pretty active right here. Yeah. All of the brass are sitting on longer valued
They're
notes.
They're like arpeggiated.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And then I think maybe my favorite section of the, I don't know. I just love everything about this piece, but
yeah.
it transitions into this cool part right here at measure 48. I will tell you, when we get here, we have trumpets are on an island with the melody by themselves. So they need to sound
altos
really
are
good.
With them, but yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. Sorry about that. Yes, you're right. But then everybody else, including percussion, are on these big eighth note hits. 1 and 1. 3 and 1. Now, it can get really heavy sounding
yep.
if you don't make sure to, you know, talk to the students about that. Like, we don't want it to be
take
like
over the
exactly,
melody.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. And then the lows get their moment of glory, and they have the melody 1 and 2, 3, 1 and 2, 3. And
just
woodwinds
like
are just kind of mm-hmm. playing above them. Then we have a little 1-measure transition, 1 and 2 and 3. And now we've changed key signature. So you're only in the key of F for about not even 20 measures.
Yeah, 16 measures, maybe.
But it can be tricky with a young band because of the key change being so drastic. So marking parts, like we always mm-hmm. talk about, is a great idea, because then you can pre-mark in, like, hey, trombones, now you're doing A natural. and E natural, because that's kind of tricky. It is going from a lot of third to a lot of second, you know?
And the key center of E flat is a nice, dark, rich sounding key for bands, especially young bands. We go to the key of F and it can be really bright.
It goes up a step. Trumpets are going even higher. They're up on D more often in the melody. But then it's the same melody.
It's the same melody. Yeah, so you don't have to reteach rhythms, right? Yep. Or don't have to reteach style. Now it's just, hey, make sure that your notes and the tonal center are there.
And you just have that melody in the upper voices for 8-measure phrase. And then 63 is just like it just was back at 44, but in the new key, where woodwinds are doing arpeggiated stuff again. 1 and 2 and 3 and we have a long note in the brass. 1.
Not dying away.
3 and 1. Yeah, and so it's the same concept, just different key. You even have the low brass featured again. 1 and 2. Don't be out of tune on A natural. G,
that is the worst
E natural,
note.
F, C. Yeah.
The worst note of the whole piece, I swear.
We had
how
to
many
work
times?
On that yes. A bunch. Like it was like we would do 1 and 2.
Stop.
Hold. Yeah. And like make sure you're in tune on that A natural.
The number of people who accidentally A flat right there on that note. Like, yeah. Oh, I can't tell you how many times I've heard
adjudicated,
this piece.
Adjudicated, yeah. And it's just out of tune with the trombone, yeah.
And it's exposed. Nobody else is playing. There is no percussion. It's trombone,
only.
Euphonium, tuba. You don't even have the low reeds to help.
Well, it probably is a low reed part. It doesn't say.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
But still.
But it's your low voices. Nobody else is playing. It is so exposed.
Yep.
So I would like, you know, drill and kill those 2 measures.
Yeah, and there's no percussion, yeah. And then percussion comes back in, woodwinds come back in and arpeggiate a little bit more. Trumpets end with like a fanfare part. 1 and 2, 3, 1 and 2, 3.
High G. Concert F, yeah.
So whenever we played this, nobody played the high G with my, this was our second band at the time. We did not, this was our third piece on a UIL program. I did not trust any of our sweet little developing trumpet players to play a high G at the end. So we left that note out because it's covered in other stuff.
You can have it. You can put it in a first clarinet part if you like. Right? We talked about your first clarinets.
The clarinet part here is above the staff the whole time.
Yes,
it's
it is.
It's ending on a high B.
It's on a high, yes. So you can take that, and that's what we did, is we took, instead of making that a high B in the clarinet, we made those that could do it and sound good on a G instead. So it covered the trumpet part.
Yeah. That's a great way to rewrite it to where you still have the note and the chord, but it's not going to scream in your face.
Right.
Yeah. And then everybody ends on beat 1, and it is just a delightful, cute little piece.
I love this piece so much. It's so good. It's very well written, a fun piece to teach, a fun piece to play.
Absolutely.
Great way to expose your kids to 5/4. So we love Cascadia Celebration.
We hope you will consider programming this in the future, and thank you for joining us on this episode of
Band BFFs.